So yesterday we started the Mishnah. Let's go over the Mishnah. That part of the Mishnah that we did yesterday, the beginning of the second parak on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Osim Pase Pasin Libiros Arba Dumadim Nirim Kishmona Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have four Dumadim. We said that the Dumadim were in an L shape, like a 90 degree angle, and they're made up of two posts going in two directions forming an L, the height of which was 10 tfachim, the width of which was 6 tfachim, and we're going to see how far they're separated one from the other. They cover the four corners around the well, creating a Rishus HaYoch. Rabbi Meir Omer, it's not enough to have four on each side, which two on made up of each one, which is eight, but rather Shmona Nirim Kishneimasar. So we got to add between the Dumadim, we have to add a post, a pass on each one of the sides. So we're going to add four to the eight, then we jack it up to 12. And the Mishnah tells us, Gvohan, the height of each one of these Dumadim, and also the Pasim, are Asar Tfachim, Rochvan Shisha. 6 tfachim in width, Ovyan Kolsh, it doesn't matter how thick they are. Now the Iker here is Beinehem. How much space do we allow between each of these Dumadim? And here the Mishnah records a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, Kimole Shtei Ravkos, again, Shtei Ravkos is universally accepted. Both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say that the opening and the space between the Dumadim is Shtei Ravkos, two teams, so to speak. But the question is, how many cows are in each team? So Rabbi Meir says, Shel Shalosh Shalosh Bakar. Each one of these Ravkos is made up of three cows. And the total is 10 amos. So that's the distance that you're allowed, the maximum distance between one dumad and another. Now, how do we get the number 10 amos? So we say the following. We have... One second. I always forget where I got this. Okay. He says the following. I'll get right back to this in a minute. I should have underlined it. Okay, so each one of these Ravkos is made up of three cows, according to Rabbi Meir. The total distance is 10 amos. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer shall arba arba. Each one of these Ravkos, these teams, is made up of four cows. And that jacks up the number from 10 amos to 13 and a half amos. Okay then? Just give me a second here. I'm just trying to... Where did I... Did any of you gentlemen by chance remember what the width of each... I mean, I could work it backwards if I had a calculator. See... 10. If you have three cows in 10 amos, that's 3 1/3. Does that make sense? Yeah, 3 1/3. So each cow takes up 3 1/3 amos. No. That would be when multiplying by 6. So then it would be
1 2/3.
1 2/3. Okay. So you have the mathematics here. So 1 2/3 times 6 is 10. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I don't have a blackboard here. So 1 2/3 amma each cow. So according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to multiply that number 1 2/3 by 6, and we'll get 10. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to multiply 1 2/3 by 8, right? And 1 2/3 by 8 is 13 and a half. Is that correct? Can you do that for me quickly? Okay. Thanks anyway. All right. Now, kshuros. The Mishnah says that when we calculate the distance between these cows in a ravka, we're talking about cows that are tied down to each other. And the Mishnah goes ahead and adds another two words, sort of for more emphasis, velo mutaros, and they're not just loose, they're tied down. I mean, the Gemara is going to discuss why the Mishnah had to say both kshuros and lo mutaros. Okay, then. Now, let's see. Okay. Where am I? Okay. Kshuros v'lo mutaros. He says... Okay. Okay. Just one second. I'm just trying to remember what where I saw everything. I'm sorry. Kshuros. Choose the width of the team. Oxen tied, not loose. Okay. Okay. Again, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the point of kshuros is that we're trying to be machmir and restrict or diminish the open air, right, the distance between one human and another. So we're sort of packing the cows together. All right. Now, he writes here in a comment that the reason why the shear is measured here, the distance between the dumudim by the behemos that are going together in these teams, right, that are tied together, is kenu derech habehemos lovel ishtia. That's the way they brought the animals together to drink from the well, drink from the water. Okay. Now, let me just review a note that we studied yesterday, just for review purposes, and that is that the machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in terms of how much distance we're going to allot or allow between the Dumadim is 10 Amos versus 13 and a third Amos. I may have said 13 and a half. I correct myself, 13 and a third. So he says that at what point do we have to add pshutim? And that's going to be the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says once you have a 10 Amos distance between the Dumadim, you have to add the pshutim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to add pshutim as long as you're within the 13 and a third amma distance. Once you go beyond the 13 and a third amma distance and you want to create a wider area that's covered by the dumadim, then even Rabbi Yehuda is going to require pshutim. Okay. Next. Mutar lahakriv labe'er. Let's say we want to make the distance between the dumadim smaller. We want to reduce that area. So we're allowed to do so, but up to a certain point. Ubilvan sheteipara rosha varuba bifnim v'shosa. You have to have enough space within the dumadim such that the para could come in and drink, and most of the animal is inside this area that is, so to speak, encompassed, encircled by the dumud. And the reason for that is because if the cow would have to stand outside the dumudim and stretch its neck out inside the dumudim to drink from the pail, to drink the well, the water, then we're afraid at some point he may be tempted to inadvertently pick up the pail and stretch it out to the cow, because the cow can't fit into this small area that's encompassed by the Dumadin. Now, if he does so, he's taking a pail from Rishus HaYochid out to Rishus HaRabim. He violates Melechas Otzah. So to guarantee that, we wanted to make sure that at least a minimum of space is encompassed by the Dumadim, such that the cow is able to drink within that space. And the Mefarshim say that it doesn't have to be that space. Let's say that space was 3.5 amos. I don't know, whatever it is. That space doesn't have to be on all sides, because even if it's tight on one side, he's gonna regularly bring his pail to that side, which is a little bit larger, you know, wider, and that's where he's gonna feed his cow. So we're not afraid that if he, you know, it's a little bit narrower, closer to the well on the left side, that he might carry a pail over the Dumadim to feed the cow who's outside the left side, because he has plenty of room on the right side to feed the cow. Now it says, Mutter, we're going on to Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Mutter laharchik kol shehu. Now what does that mean? How far of a distance is there between the Dumadim and the well? And then we can expand that shetach. So he wants to have a wider area that is surrounded by the Dumadim, kolshu, as wide as he likes. That's according to the Tanakam. We didn't get Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda is going to have a maximum beyond which we're not going to allow Dumadim. Ubelvad sheyarbe bepasim. So just to make life easy in terms of the mathematics, let's say he wants to have a space that instead of 10 amos is 20 amos. So he's going to have to add another 4 pshutim. And it's always going to be the same ratio. Again, the ratio will shift between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, you know, when you're expanding beyond 10 amos, then you need pshutim according to how much you expand. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, beyond 13 and a third amos. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a cap. There's a maximum. Ad beis hasayim. We're going to allow you to create pase bros as long as you're encircling an area that is less than beis hasayim. I think we said beis hasayim was 100 amma and 50 amma. If it's less than that, you're fine, but not beyond that. And the reason that Rabbi Yehuda puts this cap on is probably because if the area gets too large of an area, then Chachamim see it as if it's no longer a Rishus HaYochid. Like if you remember when we discussed the Shayara case, so we said for each person in the caravan, in the group, we're going to allow him Beis Asayim. And then we have something called a Karpaf, if you remember. So once the area becomes so wide, it no longer looks like a Rishus HaYochid, and Chazal imposed upon it the status of a Karmelis. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Pase Bros allows you to set up a Rishus HaYochid, which again, we're overlooking many of the requirements of Mechitzos here. We're really relaxing the requirements instead of, we said yesterday that there's Avira on both sides of this, and it's Paris Merubala Omed, and all these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, the Rabbanan said we'll recognize these Mechitzos for the benefit of the Ole Regal, we'll say. But we have to have a situation where, had it been, you know, the real McCoy Mechitzos, we would allow you to carry within. And once you expand beyond the Beis HaSayim, then even with Mechitzos Gemuros, you know, you could have Shea Stadium. I know they changed the name anyway. What it's called, City Park, whatever it's called. Anyway, so even if you have the greatest Mechitzos in the world, it doesn't matter. If it's a Beis HaSayim, then it's also a tiltal. I mean, that has to do with something called Lo Hukaf Lidira. I think we mentioned it yesterday. Okay, it's not a residential area. Amru Lo. So the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Yehuda, and they said, Lo Amru Beis Asayim Elegina Ulekarbaf. He says the following, that when the Chachamim said that if you have this large area which is called a Beis Asayim, then you're not allowed to carry within it more than four amos, meaning it has the status of a karmelis. That's because it's an area like a gina or a karpaf, which is either within the city if it's a gina, or it's out of the city if it's a karpaf, and it's not an area that is surrounded for the purpose of shimush, a residential kind of enjoyment or benefit. And therefore, it looks like it's not a reshus hayochid. Avalim hoya dir, o sahar, o muktza, o chotzer, afilu beis chameshes korim, afilu beis asora korim, mutol etaltil bo. So the Mishnah gives a whole list of cases where you actually have a large area that's being used, either for the example in the case of deer, you have a large field and you have animals in that field, and you know the animals live there and they have pasture area and so forth and so on. Then he's got So that's deer. Deer could be a field that's outside the city, but Sahar is already a field that's within the city. And once again, that's where the animals live and so forth. Then he has a case called Muktzeh, which he says is Mokom Rachav Me'achori Abayis. So he's got a very wide backyard. But again, he uses it in the context of his house, of his regular usages. Chotzer, he has a courtyard in front of his house. In those cases where he's going to enjoy Tashmishim of Diur, he's going to live there. What I mean by live there, meaning that he's enjoying benefits there, either he or his animals, then the sky's the limit. We don't care how large this Reshus HaYochid is, you're allowed to be metaltal in it, as long as it's got mechitzos. He writes here, Shekol elu hukfu bigdoros u'mechitzos l'shem shimur shel dir, because when we put up the partitions that encircle this area, it was for the sake of shimur shel dir. We're actually enjoying the benefits of it. And if you admit to us that in all these cases of deer, sahar, muktzah, and chotzer, you don't prohibit tiltul, you rely on the mechitzos, then we should have said the same thing with regard to Be'eros Mayim. Right? What are you doing in this area? You're using the well in order to drink the water from the well. Well, that's also called a shimush lidir. And therefore, we should be allowed tiltul in such a shetach, no matter how large of an area it is. And therefore, mutal lahachik kolshehu. Kolshehu means as much as he wants. Ubilvad shi'ar v'parsim. Again, if he's expanding, then there has to be a proportionate ratio of pasim. And even Rabbi Yehuda accepts that. But there's no absolute cap here of beis asayim. As long as it's an area where the animals are going to drink from the water, then it's considered shimush al dir, and it doesn't. There's no limitation in terms of the size. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Lema masnisin delo kichananya. Should we say that our Mishnah is against Chananya? Now, in order to understand Chananya, we have to know the difference between pase biraos. Okay, now, biros is just the plural of bira'a, and then there's something called a bar. A bar means that we dig in the ground and the water falls from Shamayim, from the heavens, the rainwater, and it collects in this bar. That's what a bar means. That's the etymology of a bar, the dictionary definition of a bar. Biros, the singular of which is bira'a, those are natural springs. So you have a well, and what's on the ground is a natural spring of water. It's not something that's man-made in order to collect rainwater. And Hananya is now about to distinguish between these two categories of, we'll call them sources of water, as far as when and under what requirements would the halacha allow you to set up these pasim, pase biros. Tisanya, we learned in a brisa, osim pasim lebar. In other words, according to this Tanakama, the first Tana of this brisa, not Hananya, we didn't get to Hananya yet, there's no difference between a bar and biros. Even though a bar is a man-made ditch with which a cistern that fills up with water, the same halacha applies. And osim l'pasim, you just put up these pasim around. Again, all the details the Mishnah has already stipulated. And then we have something called the shayara, which we discussed at great length not long ago. And for a caravan, what we're going to require, if you want to be metaltal within the camp of the caravan, are those mechitzos of shesi and arev, and that's called chavolim. Well, chavolim actually is a reference to arev, if you remember. You know, the ropes going horizontally. So if you have a shayara, and the people want to be metaltal from one part of the camp to the other, then forget about pasim and yumadim. That whole business doesn't apply to a shayara. And the only way you could be matir tiltil is through chavolim, which means you have to have a minimum of 3 chavolim going across arev. And it has to be, if you remember, one rope is 3 tvachim minimum above the other rope. I mean, up to 3 tvachim, I should say, right? And then we apply the principle of lavud. Each chevel, if you remember, has to have the thickness of a tefach. And that's what we discussed at great length. Oh. So far, the Tana Kama has equated a bar with biros. And all the laws that apply and the requirements can be applied to a bar as well. Comes on Hananya, and he says, chavolim lebar avalo pasim. That just like in the case of Shayara, we all agree that this pasim business is not going to go. We need a real mechitza. Again, it's not a great mechitza. It's a mechitza of lovewood, which is called a chavolim, but it's a mechitza nevertheless. In the pasim biros, as we said before, there's avir here and avir there, and there's nothing going up there in between, and there's parts, and you know, the whole 9 yards. That's not acceptable in a bar. A bar requires chavolim, just like a shayara. Now the assumption here in this Gemara is yesh lechalik bein bar lebe'er, according to Hananya. And just 1 second. I'm not sure if 1 second I have a low pass. 1 second. So what is the Gemara's kasha? Because our Mishnah says biros. So are we gonna what is machlokus now between Hananya and our Mishnah? Our Mishnah relies on pasim, I'm assuming even in the case of bar. Now let me see if anyone points that out here. Just one second. I just want to make sure I'm on the right track here. What I understood was that Hananya is not going to accept pasim for a bar, and that's against our Mishnah. Let me just think if that's right. Because the Tanakhama said Osim Pasim Lubar, and Hananya said Chavolim Lubar. Avalo Pasim. If I understood correctly, the Tanakhama reflects our Mishnah. Unless, but wait a minute, that our Mishnah, I'm a little confused because our Mishnah doesn't say anything about Bar. So wait, I have a footnote here. Maybe. But Mishnah lo huzkar din ha-pasim elinyan biros shehem be'eros mayim chayim. That's only live spring water. V'lo le'inyan boros shel mayim mechunosin. But Tana zeh, the Tana of this price, so matir b'mefurosh gam b'boros. Now what's the opinion of our Mishnah as far as boros are concerned? Okay, so I'm going to read to you a footnote here, which I'm afraid is going to throw me off a little bit. Because again, I'm trying to figure out why the Gemara says that our Mishnah is against Hananya. Hagemara yada sheish makom lechalik bein bar lebe'er ukefi. Shehi dochem miyad, v'yafal pikein sovra, she'ein Hananya mechalik beinehem, shim lokein oyomer osim chavilos, chavolim lebar, upasim lebe'er. So Rabosa, you know what I think is going on here? Again, be'eravon mugbal, as we say, but I think when the Gemara reads Hananya Chavolim Libar, the Gemara thinks that Hananya is completely rejecting the concept of Pasim Biros. He doesn't have Pasim because he says I have a low Pasim. So right now the Gemara is not sensitive to the distinction between Bar and Bira, between man-made Mayim Mechunosim and natural springs, which is called Mayim Chayim. So when I read this Gemara, I already had in mind the next piece of Gemara, that there's a difference between Bar and Bira, but the Gemara hasn't come to that yet. That's what threw me off. Right now the Gemara thinks Bar and Bira are all the same. They're just different types of boros. But so if Hananya is recorded as saying that there's no such thing as pasim to be matir a bar, but rather you need chavolim, which is, as we said before, is a serious machitza, then apparently Hananya rejects this whole mission of ours of Pasei Biros. And now the Gemara is going to differentiate between Biros and Bar. I already had the Maskonis, so that messed me up. The Gemara says, Afilu Teima Hananya. Hananya doesn't reject our Mishnah, but rather Bar Lechud Ube'er Lechud. Right, Bira is the Aramaic formulation of Be'er. Be'er is Mayim Chayim, is natural water. So that what Hananya was pointing out is that although there's a halach of Pasim with regard to wells, but that's only Be'er. That's only the natural spring, but not Bar. And that squares beautifully with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah only mentions Biros, which are Be'eros. Lo hutar pasim el be'er. I'm reading the beer here. Shemeimeha novim. Novim means they flow from underneath the ground. But velo bar shalmayim mechunosim. Uba Mishnah. Eino Mavur, it doesn't say in the Mishnah, Ella more than Shaosim Pasim Libiros. Uladas Chananya, Bidafka Nishna Kane. That's Chananya is just really interpreting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about Biros. It doesn't mention anything about Bar. Says Chananya because Bar has a different halacha, and it's not included in our Mishnah. Now he writes, V'tam hachiluk bein bar lebe'er. So why should halacha be prejudiced against bar? Shememav shel bar asuyin lechalos. Because the bar is totally dependent on rainwater. And again, how deep is the bar? So how many people are drawing water from the bar? It's very possible that at some point the bar is going to just dry up. V'chashashu chachamim she'af achar she'yichlu. The Rabbanan were afraid that even after the bar dries up, yamshichu l'taltel bein apasim, people are going to continue to carry on Shabbos between the Pasi Biros, not realizing that there is no bar, because the bar is dried up. V'lo huta l'taltel sham, eladafka kasher mayim bibar. Ha! So if you want to say it in a lumdisha way, conceptually, it means that the matir here is the bar. And that's what's generating the permissibility to set up these pasim, which is paras merubal amud and avir mizeh, avir michad gis, the whole thing. And what we're going to do now is, if we're going to say that the well itself is what allows setting up the biros, I'm saying the pasim, then we need a be'er mayim chayim, we need a well that's not going to dry up. But if it's a man-made well that collects the rainwater, it's going to dry up, or it might dry up. So he tiru lo tziyam litzorech hashkos behemas ole regel. In other words, we're only matir that kind of a natural spring which would be used by the ole regel to water their cows and so forth. Umachmas chashash zeh Osar Chananya lahatir bar al yidei pasim. So Chananya is pointing out, and this could be reconciled with that Mishnah, that we're not going to allow pasim for something that is not a well. I mean, now it's a well, but who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. Aval chashash zeh eino kayam bebe'er, but in a natural spring, we don't have to worry about it. Meimeha novim me'atzmam, the waters flow from within. The enom kalim, and they don't get dried up. Alkein afhu modesh osim pasim beberos. So it's not like we understood in the Havamina that Chananya just completely rejected the whole enterprise of pasim beberos. No. He was focused exclusively on a bar, and he said bar doesn't have pasim because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't want them to rely on pasim if there's no bar over there, if it dried up. But the assumption is that if it's a be'er, it's not going to dry up. Again, I don't know, statistically I haven't done this research, but I'm sure there are plenty of be'eros that have dried up. Of course, even the be'eros, I think to some extent, I don't know, I'm not sure. I mean, do you guys know anything about that? I mean, maybe you could Google this for me. Natural springs, do they ever dry up? I think they do, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, it's less common, for sure. That goes beyond saying. So the whole heter of our Mishnah, of setting up these pasim with all their negative, limitations, that there's avir here, avir there, it's parutz and everything else, is only when you have a natural spring that's here to stay. And that's called a be'er, or in the Mishnah's language, biros. If we have a situation of a bar, which we know, or we suspect is going to dry up tomorrow, we're not going to allow using these pasim, because people are going to get so used to using the pasim, they're not going to look inside the bar. They may carry over there thinking that, okay, we set up a Rishus HaYoch and I'm allowed to carry there. They don't realize that the entire enterprise is completely halachically, legally invalid. It fell apart because the water dried up. So therefore we need real mechitzos, the same kind of mechitzos that we use for a shayara, which means the chavolim that are horizontal. Ika di Amri, there's another transmission of the same kind of, you know, dialogue back and forth. Midalok tani, since if you read Hananya's words carefully in the Braisa, it doesn't say Hananya Omer Osim Chavolim Lebar Upasim Lebe'er, since he didn't mention the distinction, the contrast between Bar and Be'er, no mention of Be'er at all.
I want to distinguish what they mean by a hole here, I think. I don't think they're talking about a little hole that's like a meter by meter. You know, on the tour guide course, we pass places that in the during the rainy season, they look like lakes. But when you pass the same place during the summer months when there's no rain, they're already dried up. So they're talking about holes that are huge, that you can actually take a team of cows or sheep, whatever, and entire groups can come and use it as a watering place, as opposed to a well where the water's coming up from underground water. You know, and I think, so you're not talking like a little hole, talking, I think this is what it means, because...
Right, but as you say, it dries up in the summertime.
It's not like it dries up in a couple of days. I mean, it takes, months.
So therefore, you know, a lot of times you'll go through these the very stony kind of areas. I got a couple of good pictures from when I used to go with my students. And since they dry up and you go through the stones, so therefore we're not going to allow possum, because once you get used to the possum during the season where it's filled, they're going to get used to it. But like you say, in the case of a spring water, we're assuming that that's here to stay. And that's where. So again, according to the Ika D'Amri, what did we see in Hananya? We saw that he omitted any mention of Be'er. Why didn't he point out that they're pasim le-Be'er? Michlal, it seems, by implication, from the fact that he omitted any mention of Be'er, Dula Hananya loshna bar v'loshna Be'er chavolim in pasim lo. The reason why we came to the conclusion that Hananya apparently completely rejects the whole entity, the whole enterprise of Pasim, is because he should have mentioned the Be'er. He didn't mention the Be'er. Is Lema Masnis in the Loka Hananya? The Mishnah says in the case of a bear, clearly that we can rely on Pasim, and that's against Hananya. The Gemara answers no. Afilu Tema Hananya. Right, the Tanakama made a point in which he said that osim pasim libar, and on that Hananya raised all, you know, he went ballistic, and he said no, there's no such thing as pasim for a bar, we're never going to allow that. But Hananya didn't even bother talking about be'er. He understood that the Mishnah has already established pasim libar, and certainly he accepted that. He just wanted to point out that the Tanakama had no right to extend the Mishnah of Pasim from Be'er to Bar. And that's where he got up and he objected. He said, no, in the case of Bar, we need Chavolim. We're not going to rely on Pasim. The Gemara says, Lema Masnisin to Lo Krebi Akiva. So we've been able to square our Mishnah with Hananya, but we're not going to be able to square it with Rabbi Akiva. Tisnan, the Mishnah tells us a little bit later on, Echad Be'er HaRabim Ubar HaRabim Ube'er HaYochid Osim Lahem Pasim Avol Bar HaYochid Osim Lomachit HaGvoa Asar Tvach Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So we have four scenarios, if you make a little box out of it. And in three out of the four, we're going to allow pasim, but in one, we will not allow pasim. So let's go through the two variables. One variable is bar versus be'er. The other variable is shal yochid versus shal rabin. So Rabbi Akiva is going to allow pasim, even in the case of shal yochid, but only if it's a be'er. So the one box out of the four boxes which is excluded from Pasim and requires a machitza gvoa yud tfachim is the case of a bar shel yachid. It's got two strikes against it. When you combine those two strikes, you're out. In baseball, you get a third opportunity, but here, it's two strikes and you're out. Number one, it's not a be'er. And number two, it's not shel rabbit. So it's a bar shel yachid. Now let's look at our Mishnah. Ilu hacha, when we look at our Mishnah, k'toni, lebe'eros. Lebe'eros in, leboros lo. Now, in the case of bar, Rabbi Akiva was willing to accept pasim to be matir tiltul in a bar, I mean around the bar, I should say, if it's shel rab. So there is a saving factor even for a bar that would allow it to be within the purview of the heter pasim, as long as it's shel rab. Our Mishnah seems to exclude bar completely. And this is especially true in the light of what we just discussed now, to reconcile Hananya with our Mishnah. Hananya says that a bar is shel chavon, right? There's no matir in a bar of pasim. It doesn't exist. And this is the way Hananya interpreted our Mishnah. Our Mishnah deliberately omitted bar to exclude bar from pasim. And that means even if it's a bar shel rabim. Whereas Rabbi Akiva allowed pasim in the case of a bar shel rabim. Kvar answers, afilu tamei Rabbi Akiva. I can square with Rabbi Akiva. And you're allowed to be matir a bar if it's shel rabim. With pasim, be'er, when the Tana Kama mentioned be'er, is be'er maim chaim psikolei. In the case of a be'er, where the Mishnah mentioned be'er, it's psikole. Psikole means it's absolute, no exceptions. It's always nitar bepasim. Loshna, it matters not whether it's the rabbim or the yochid. And the Mishnah left out bar, why? Because k'toni, it's only going to list that which is psikole milsa. But bar, that's already more complicated. That depends on another variable. It's mechunasim, then it's lo psikole. It's natural, it's not natural water, it's water that is gathered together from the rains that fell. And now it's iffy. And now a condition has to be filled, and it's shel rabim. It's lo k'toni. The Mishnah doesn't go into that discussion. So then this gives us a little bit of a methodology of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. I mean, you could write a whole book on, you know, the language of the Mishnah, how Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, what were the guidelines and the rules. And one of those rules is that he's interested in psika. He'll tell you that which is always true. He wants to make a blanket statement. And he tells you that with regard to a be'er, which is Mayim Chaim, yalla, let's set up the pasim. You're going to ask him, well, what's the deal with a bar? Now you're asking me a more complicated, iffy kind of question, and he's going to have to differentiate. Is it a bar shel rabim, bar shel yochid? That's how we're going to reconcile the Tana of our Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva. Lema masis into loka Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Okay, you've now been able to square the Mishnah with Hananya, and even with Rabbi Akiva, but not with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah later on, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava omer ein osim pasim ela lebe'er harabim bilvat. Whoa. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is whittling it down. This heter of pasim is really limited, really restricted. Number one, I need a be'er. And number two, it's got to be shel rabim. The principle that we just applied of psikole milsa, meaning in the case of be'er, it's psikole, and it's not conditional, it's absolute, that doesn't sit well with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Because he wants to see two conditions filled. Before we spoke about two strikes and you're out. Now he's saying I need two home runs and you're in. we're only going to allow you in this select, upgraded membership group, a special club of the Possum Club, if A, you're a Be'er, and B, you're Shel Rabin. And that seems to be against that Mishnah. Lohacha Ketani, our Mishnah says Lebeiros, which implies that all wells that are natural, which is called a Be'er, Mayim Chayim, are subject and lend themselves to the head to tiltul in a case of Possum. Loshna de Rabim, Loshna de Yachid. And the Mishnah didn't qualify and say, oh, yeah, a bear has to be a bear shall Rabim. Why did the Mishnah leave that out? So Gemara says, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, my Beiros, Beiros the Alma. In other words, we thought Beiros in the plural was coming to include even shall Yachid, right? There are two categories of Beiros, the shall Rabim and shall Yachid. And the very fact that our Mishnah employs the plural Beiros, it's coming to tell me that both of those categories are included in Pasim, in the Heter Pasim. No. That's what the Gemara rejects that. You could square off Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava with that Mishnah, and the Heter of Pasim is limited to Be'eros Shel Rabim. Why did the Mishnah then employ the plural? And the answer is Beiros bi'alma. In other words, it's referring to all the Beiros that fit into this category which allow passing. Your Beiros Shel Rabim, my Beiros Shel Rabim, wherever it is in the country, in the north, in the south. He says Sha'osim Pasim Laharbe Beiros Shel Rabim Sheish Ba'olam. Out there in the veld, there are many Beiros Shel Rabim, and all of them are subject to this heter of pas. So just to summarize, we were able to square off our Mishnah with three different Tanoim. If we square our Mishnah with Hananya, the distinction is between a bar and a Be'er, and that's fine. Our Mishnah is limited to Be'eros. If on the other hand we want to square our Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva, then we can extend the application of Pasim even to a bar, but with one proviso, it's got to be a bar Shel Rabim. And the Mishnah just omitted mention bar because it's lo psikale, because it already is contingent on whether it's shall rab or shall yochid. And the third possibility is to learn our Mishnah as excluding even be'eros in certain cases, namely if it's a be'er shall yochid. And the plural of be'eros is only to mention bi'alma all over the world. All the be'eros that are shall rabim in the world, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava insists, lend themselves to a heter of pas. My diomodin, right? The Mishnah says that around this be'er, you can be matir tilta by setting up these diomodin. Omar Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, the word diomodin is a hybrid made up of two smaller words, dio amudim. Dio means two, right? That's true in most languages, right? Not in English, but now in French it's un dos. I don't know, so maybe that's not exactly the same. What is it in Spanish? Unos dos. Okay, I don't know. It's very similar to this word dio. It's probably a Latin word, dio. And then dio modim. Modim, the modim part means amudim. That's already a uniquely Lashon Kodesh word. And you have two posts. And as we said before, these two posts are connected to each other at a 90-degree angle and as an L-shape, and we put them on the four corners surrounding the Be'er. Now, he says here that a Diumodim are Shnei Amudim HaMechubarim Zezeh B'Zovis. He says B'Tzura Sa'os Reish. That's the same as an L. Okay, he calls it a Reish. Biofen she'ama shel omud ze tovo litzad echad vi'ama shel omud hasheni timoshech litzad acher. Just one second. Ah, right. Because we said it was six tvachim. A six tvachim is the same as an amma. Okay. So you have a post that's an amma, another post that's an amma in the shape of an L, coming at a 90 degree angle. That's called a diomot. Okay. Tnan hasam. We have a mission in Tmai. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol ashitin pturin chutz min ashitin diyofra. My diyofra Omer ula ilana ose diyo peros bishona. So this little piece of Gemara here is just what we call derech agav. It's once we focused on the word, the etymology of the word diyumadim, and we get the first three letters are dio, so the Gemara goes on to tell you about a certain tree that produces twice annually. Its harvest season of fruits is biannual. So the bi is dio. And that has to do with the chiyuv to be ma'aser d'mai. We've discussed this, I think, in the past. If you buy fruits or grains, right, from an amma aretz, you don't know exactly whether he took off ma'aser or not. He's not so reliable. Then the chazal required you to go ahead and be mafresh ma'aser and don't rely on the fact that he, the seller who sold you this peros, was mafresh. And then Rabbi Yehuda makes a comment about a sort of second-rate figs, which are called shitin. And they're very cheap. They're very inexpensive. Like, they're figs that probably didn't fully ripen or so. Is pturim. In this case, we can assume that the Amoris would have taken off mas. No sweat off it. It's so cheap, it's so inexpensive that we can rely that he took it off. However, there's one kind of a fig tree, I guess, which is called a diofra. And you have to be mafresh maser if you buy it from an amoretz, because it's an expensive tree and the figs are of high quality. And what is diofra? Again, you see the first three letters of the word diofra, dio. Omar ula ilan sha'ose dio peros bishan. Twice a year, they produce these figs. Let me just see if he adds anything here. He says these are wild figs, right? I'm talking about shitin or wild figs, and they're cheap. And we assume that the tithes were separated, because the cost to the farmer is not significant. But the exception to you is the afra, which is a higher class fig. Okay, that's all that he has. Now, Rabosai, the next Gemara is an Agadita. I'll leave that to you, if you have time, to learn the Agadita. So that's a homework assignment, and I'll try to do my job also to learn this Agadita. So let's just fast forward now to the next piece of Gemara, which is on Daf Yud Tes, Amud Aleph. Okay then, so if you're looking on Daf Yud Tes, you're three lines up before the bottom of the Amud, and one second. And it says here, Ubeinayim Kimelo Shite Rivkos Shal Sholosh Sholosh Bakar Divir Rav Meir Rav Yudomir Shal Arba. And then it says, Kshuros Velo Mutaros. Right? They're tied up and they're not loose, these cows. So Pshita, the Gemara says, came in the Tundal Lake Kshuros Havo. Since you require that these Ravkos have to be tied to each other, is Ananya Dina Delavi Butaros. I mean, we know that they're not loose, they must be tied. So why did the Mishnah have to feel compelled to spell out Velo Mutaros? So he says, Ma'od de Tema, I would have thought, Kshuros ke'en kshuros. Avol mamish lo.
Sorry, would, where are you?
Three lines up from the bottom of Yutes Omer Alf, 19a, three lines up from the bottom.
Okay.
You have it? Pshita.
You really skipped.
Yeah, it's all I got it. If you, again, I'm more interested in figuring out Erevin, you know what I'm saying? And it's a Gadita with a God-created man, you know, with two faces, with a male face on the front and a female. I mean, very interesting stuff. You might enjoy it, you know.
Okay.
If you're into male-female stuff, you know, it's a nice Gadita. I don't feel compelled to have to learn it with you. I think you can do it on your own. I'm just trying to get down the. So he says the following. Ma'al de tema, I would have thought kshuros ke'en kshuros. Right? It doesn't have to be really tied down. You know, we can just put them together with the yoke on top, and that's enough. Amo mamish lo, kamash malon, the Tana wants to teach me, velo mutaros. In other words, you know, when you calculate the distance between the various passe bros, and we said that it's a matter of shtei rivkos, then the rivka has to be made up of either three cows or four cows that are tied together. Okay. Oh,